If you'll turn your Bibles with me this morning to Luke chapter 15, stand, if you will, out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able. Now I'm going to begin, and we're not going to read this whole story. You know, this is the story of the prodigal son. And we're not going to read all the way through, but I am going to start in verse 15, and I want you to read the even verses while I read the odd verses through verse 24. But I'll begin in verse 15. In this story in Luke chapter 15. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Today's sermon is simply titled, The Way of the Father. And a lot of times on the story of the prodigal son, we focus on the prodigal. And there's been some messages where I've heard that they focus on the other son that stayed home, which is a good focus. This is actually one of Dr. Smith's favorite passages. I think in my Bible here I have 7 messages that Brother Smith has preached over the years in my notes here. And I ran out of room because I think he's preached more than that on the subject. This passage of scripture is just full of applications and things about our relationship with God. And can I tell you something? To think of Father's Day, it is hard not to talk about God the Father. That's right. And He is our example. And, I can't think of a better example of a father. I can't think of anything better to talk about than the way of the Father. And you see, as we look at this story, and it begins in verse 11, and it says, and he said, a certain man had two sons. We're talking about a father, a man that has sons. We understand that being a father is a special thing. It really is. And listen. If you are a father or have been a father, you understand what I'm talking about. And I say have been a father. If you're a father and your child is no longer living, you're still a father. Okay. That still applies, but you understand being a father is a special thing. And as you read through this story, you do understand that even though one of his sons kind of rejected things and left things alone, the father still loved the son. That's right. No matter what. And that's kind of what a father does. And can I tell you something? God loves mankind. God loved Adam and Eve. He created them. He made them. And when man chose to sin against God, when man chose to go against, if you will, his creator, his father, and he went against God, God still loved him. God still provided for him. God made a way. God still did the things necessary that a father would do. He didn't just abandon him. He didn't just kind of crumple him up and throw him in the trash can and start over again. God didn't do that. He made a way for redemption for us. And so we're just going to look at this story just maybe in a little different light today, because it is Father's Day. We're going to focus on the father, not necessarily the prodigal, and not necessarily the other son that stayed home. But rather, we're going to look at the way of the father. Look at verse 18, if you would, to begin with. It says here, the prodigal said, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Now, this story does not tell us what the father taught these two sons. But it does imply that the younger son went against that teaching and those commandments of the father. So the first thing I want to talk about in the way of a father is the commandment of the father. The commandment of the father. Obviously, because this young man came to himself and said, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. What does it mean to sin? What does it mean to transgress? What does it mean to go against something? It's what? To do the opposite. So this young man must have been taught something. Correct? The father must have had a commandment or a way of philosophy or something that he taught and passed on to his son that his son went against. Now, just from our story, we can see that the younger man, he wanted his money, he wanted his inheritance, and he went and wasted, the Bible says, his substance on riotous living. What is riotous living? It's living against what you were brought up and taught. Otherwise, you wouldn't be rioting, would you? You'd just be doing whatever your father had taught you. So if the father lived this way, how could what the son did be called riotous? Right? It was obviously opposite of what the father had taught and commanded. Can I tell you something? That all we like sheep have gone astray. Can I tell you something? That we are all under condemnation. Can I tell you something? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
That's right.
Hey, listen. The commandment of the Father is something that we are living against. We are going against as human beings. We're sinful creatures. For by one man sin entered into the world, right? You all understand that. Yeah. So we have a commandment from the Father. Turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. The way of the Father includes the commandment of the Father. I have no doubt that this Father taught his sons how to live. That he gave them commandments. That he gave them rules. That he gave them a path to follow. And God does the same for mankind. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and upon or and on thy gates. You understand? God has a commandment for us. God has a way for us to live. God has some things that He wants us to pass on to our children and to our grandchildren and to our great-grandchildren. God has let us know His commandments, His statutes, His precepts, His ways, His judgments, the commandment of the Father. God wants to teach you. He wants to show you. Hey, guess what? We even have a book that they're recorded in. Yeah. Listen, I have no doubt that the father in this story did a good job of teaching his children. How did the son know when he came to his senses that he had sinned against God? That he had sinned against his father? How did he know? Because the father did a good job of teaching him. Yeah. Hey, folks, we make choices. We make choices every day. Every day, oftentimes we choose maybe to obey. But there are times where we actually choose to disobey. Don't we? Now, there are times. And listen, some of you, maybe less time disobeying and more time obeying. That's great. Maybe some of us, more time disobeying, less time obeying. Huh? But we've all done it. We've all been there. But the commandment of the Father stands true. Go to 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8, the commandment of the Father. We know that this Father taught His sons how to live, just as God has shown us and given us His commandments. Look at 1 Kings chapter 8. Look at verses 57 and 58. 1 Kings chapter 8. It says, "The Lord our God be with us, as He was with our fathers. Let Him not leave us nor forsake us, that He may incline our hearts unto Him, to walk in all His ways, and to keep His commandments, and His statutes, and His judgments, which He commanded our fathers." Does that not exactly match up with Deuteronomy 6? It does. And who is this? These are many generations later from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And the teaching of the sons and the sons' sons and all the days of thy life, this is being passed down. The commandments, the statutes, and the judgments of God, which He commanded our fathers. Hey, can I tell you something? God's ways are not a suggestion. They're commandments. Over in this hallway over here, no, I'm sorry, it's in the room next to the donut room, the important room. The other room, I was informed that's a media room, our media room, okay. Over the piano, there's a picture with the 10, what? Suggestions? What are they? 10 what? Commandments, yeah. That's what they're called. The Father has commandments, folks. Commandments. A way to live. A way to do things. What to do and sometimes what not to do. I have no doubt that in our story of the prodigal son, that the Father gave his son commandments. He gave him a way to live. Now, did the son make a bad choice? Yes. Did he go against what the father commanded? Yes. And likewise, we have as well. It'll go over to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. We're just flipping through the Bible here, looking through what God has to say about his commandments. Proverbs chapter 6. And verses 20 through 23. Proverbs chapter 6. Let's start, verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Hey, memory verse, Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word, the commandments of God, the testimonies of God, the judgments of God, the statutes of God, the precepts of God. That sounds a little bit like the wonderful word of God we've been studying on Sunday nights. The commandments of the Father. Forsake not his commandments. Let not his commandments be put away from you. Bind them about your neck. Bind them about your heart. Write them down. Tie them about your neck. Let them talk to you. Let them keep you. Let them lead you. Let them go before you. They are the way of life. What did going against the commandments do for the prodigal? Anything positive? No, quite negative. Okay? You all like context, right? Everybody okay with context of the story? All right? A certain man had two sons. Because Jesus is saying this, he's talking to Jews, it's probably a Jewish man who had Jewish sons, who had nothing to do in association with pigs, swine. Okay? They were unclean, unfit. Now, I'm glad that God said to Peter, arise, Peter, kill and eat. Okay? Because I like bacon. Hallelujah for bacon. All right. Now, bacon-wrapped bacon is fantastic, okay? And I've even had bacon jerky, hallelujah. That stuff's good. Now, listen. We have here a Jewish boy that joins himself to a citizen of another country, is going out to feed the pigs. Okay, first of all, that's probably not a bad, horrible thing. But I want you to listen what was going to take place. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. He was going to eat with the pigs. Could you imagine? Getting your nose down there with the pigs. Those little snotty snouts. Hey, Mr. Piggy, can I have some of that? That'd make you come to your senses. Come on now. Listen, he was against the commandment of the Father. He had gone astray. God wants to lead us in the way of life, not eating with the pigs. That's not what he wants for us. That's not what his commands are for. His commands are not to drive us away, but to rather lead us in the path of life. Go over to John chapter 15. If you have a marker in Luke 15, which is pretty wise, because we're going back there. But look at John 15, verses 9 and 10. This is what Jesus says about his commandments and about his relationship with our relationship with him and his Father. Look at verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Do you think the Father wanted his son in distress and in a place where he was filthy and had nothing and was hungry and was about to eat with the pigs? Do you think that's what the Father wanted for the Son? Do you think the Father wanted the Son hundreds of miles away, not knowing what his condition was, not knowing what was happening to him, not knowing this? Do you think the Father wanted all of that? No, I don't either. No, I think the Father wanted the Son at home. And I think the Father wanted the Son close by. And I think the Father wanted the Son close enough to embrace and to love and to cherish and to be a part of His life. The commandments were there to protect. The commandments were there to preserve. The commandments were there to bring abundance and prosperity to His life. And He forsook them. Can I tell you something, folks? We ought not forsake the commandments of the Father. Ephesians chapter 6, flip over there. You know this passage of Scripture. In verse 1 it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." I have no doubt that the Father did this. What's another verse that we understand? Is that train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will what? Yeah. Hey, is that true according to this story of the prodigal son? Oh, it sure is. Oh, did the son go away for a time? Sure. But what happened? He came to himself. He came back home to the Father. Hey, it came true. We understand that God's word is true. Can I tell you something? God wants us to live right. Over in 2 John, turn there toward the end of the Bible. 2 John. And I won't say chapter 1 because in order to have a chapter 1, you have to have a chapter 2. And there's not. 2 John. Look at verses 1 through 6. "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace, from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandment." This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, that ye should walk in it. Jesus simply said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. Hey, was there any question that the Father loved his Son? No question. But at times in the story, was there a question that the Son loved the Father? Have you given reason for God to question your love for Him? How do we show that we love God? Keep His commandments. Keep His commandments. The way of the Father is the commandments of the Father. Now, I don't have time this morning, but if you want to see how it goes for those that do not listen to the commandment of their Father, you can look in Proverbs 10:1, 13:1, 15:5, 15:20, 17:21, 17:25, 19:13, 27 or 28:7. Does not go well with those who avoid the commandments of the Father. Did it go well for the prodigal? Riotous living, how'd it go for him? Not so well. So not only the commandments of the Father, go back to the story in Luke 15, but we see, secondly, the correction of the Father. The correction. Hey, can I tell you something? God doesn't hold our sin against us. Now, there is punishment, there is correction. And that's a biblical principle. But He doesn't hold it over our heads and keep us in subjection to what we've done in the past. He forgives us our sins. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. God wanted us to see that the Son came to Himself. He knew He was wrong. He knew He had sinned against the Father. And He went home to be with the Father. You said, hey, He received Him back as a son. He killed the fatted calf. He put a robe on His back. He put the ring on His finger. And He cleaned Him up and He took Him back into the household. Yes, He did. But what was the correction? What was the punishment? Was there a punishment? You say, no, He gave Him everything back. Oh, did He? Oh, look at verse 31. Luke 15, verse 31. This is a conversation He's having with the elder son. He said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me. All that I have is thine. The younger son already wasted his substance in riotous living. If you go off and waste your substance, oh yeah, God will take you back. He'll forgive you. That'll be true, but you're going to have lost some things in that time away from the Father. Hey, it's not a free ticket, folks. You don't just say, well, I'm going to go off into sin and live the way I want against the commandment of the Father, and He's just going to restore everything back to me the way it was. No, there's still payments. There's still baggage. Now, is it forgiven? Absolutely. Absolutely forgiven. But we still are going to suffer some loss for those decisions when we go against the commandment of the Father. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. You say, God doesn't correct us. God doesn't punish us. Oh, yes, He does. Proverbs chapter 3, look at verse 11 and 12. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth. Yeah. Hey, can I tell you something? You say, God doesn't correct me. Then you better check and see if you are a son. You know, I don't go over to my neighbor's house and correct their children. Why? I'm not their father. That's not my job. That's their job. I have enough to correct in my own house. Okay? So guess what? If you don't experience the corrective hand of God, you just might not be a son. And those are dangerous waters. Because he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's just that simple. You see, there was correction in this story of the prodigal son. It's not a story of the corrected part, but we understand that the elder son was in possession of everything the father had left. The younger son didn't get anything. He just got to live there. He already wasted his substance in riotous living. He didn't get another portion. He didn't get another inheritance. You understand that? That was part of the correction. Over in Proverbs 13:24, the Bible tells us this. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Over in Proverbs 19:18, we see more about the chastening hand of the Father. In verse 18 it says, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, for if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. Hear counsel and receive instruction. that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. You see, God corrects us, and he loves us whom he corrects. The correction of the Father is the way of the Father. You say, well, but God is a God that overlooks things. No, he doesn't overlook. Long suffering is not the same as overlooking. Not the same. It just that means that he's merciful. It just means that he's gracious. It just means that he's long suffering. How long is long suffering? I don't know. Do you know? Sometimes it's this long. Sometimes it's this long. Is there a measure on that? Hey, you know what? I know of people like the prodigal who are born again, gone away from God for years, and seemingly judgment did not come on their lives. I know of some people that go away from God for days, and the chastening hand of God comes. You say, why? I don't know. I'm not the Father. Don't ask me. He's the Father. It's his long suffering. It's different for everyone. Maybe because he knows his children. He knows what they need. Hey, go back and read in the Old Testament. Sometimes the children of Israel, they went away from God and lived in sin for quite a period before they were judged and brought into captivity. And then sometimes it was very quickly. Who decides that? The Father. Because he knows what's best for his children. Hey, you know what? I've learned as a father with little kids, judgment comes very quickly. Sometimes for my older kids, I take my time. Because they know that I know they did wrong. And I make them sweat it out. When is he going to punish me? It's not if, okay? Never if. When? And I let him stew in it. And I let him sit in it for a while. Sometimes that's worse, isn't it? Yeah. When's he going to come after me? Well, hey, it works. I think God does the same to us sometimes. But you understand the correction of the Father. God does love us, and he does correct those that he loves. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it talks about the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, right? For what? Reproof. For what else? Correction. Ah! Why do we need correction? Because sometimes we're wrong. Instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God corrects us. Hey, do we need correcting? Yes, we do. Do we need direction in our lives? Yes, we do. Do we need the chastening hand of God at times? Yes, we do. Over in Psalm 94, in verses 12 and 13. Bad thing for you today, I forgot my watch. Psalm 94, verses 12 and 13. Actually, I think for the briquette, I think it's up on the platform up there over there where we're tying off that tent. I think I took it off yesterday. Psalm 94, I do know what time it is. I'm just teasing with you. Verses 12 and 13. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Hey, can I tell you something? The commandment of the Father is important. It's part of the way of the Father. The correction of the Father is very important. It's part of the way of the Father. But can I tell you something? This is not done
out of spite. It's not done out of hatred. It's not done in anger and horror. It is done out of love. Love. We've already read that whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And we understand that because of how much God loves us, he corrects us. And he gives us commandments to follow because he wants us to follow the ways of life. It's not because he hates us. I've said before this illustration about farmers and their livestock. They don't put up barbed wire fences because they hate their cows. They put up the barbed wire fences because they love the cows. The cows are valuable to them. They mean something to them. They want them there. Hey, God, folks, God has put fences. And if you say, what's a fence? Commandments. Yeah. And he does that because he loves us, not because he hates us. Go back to our story in Luke 15. We see the compassion of the Father. Amen. We have the commandment of the Father. We have the correction of the Father. And we have the compassion of the Father. These are the ways of the Father. Look at verses 20 and 24. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off. He didn't come up and say. Or ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, the little ring thing. Okay. See, I see you on the screen there. Are you my son? You don't look like my son. You're a little dirty there. No. He was a great way off, folks. So the father just happened to be outside doing a little work in the flower garden. And he just happened to swat at a fly and, oh, wait, what is that over there? Oh, I think that might be my son. Is it my son? I'm not sure. No. This story tells us of the great expectation of the father. He was waiting for his son to come back. I think that that occupied and preoccupied his life every day from the time that that boy left home until the time he saw him coming over that hill. He was looking for him. And when he was a great way off, the Bible says he just kind of, he saw him and he just said, well, I'll wait till he comes to me because, bless God, I'm the father. I gave the commandment. He's going to get punished. And he's going to come to me. Right? Is that what your story says? No. Not mine either. Mine says he had compassion. And the father ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now, does that sound like what you were thinking should happen? This brat had the audacity to go to his father and demand the portion of goods that followed to him. And then he gathered it all up and took off. Didn't say boo to dad. Nothing. Hey, would the father have been justified? Sure. But is that what the father did? No. No. It's called compassion, folks. For God so loved the world.
That's right.
That he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Go to 1 John chapter 3. The compassion of the Father. Oh, is God a God of wrath? Yes. Is God a righteous judge? Yes. Is God going to punish? Yes. But it's going to be with compassion and love. God does love us. He so loved us that he sent his son. 1 John chapter 3, We see this verse. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Go to 1 John chapter 4, look at verses 9 and 10. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Yeah. It's compassion, folks. Remember, Jesus saw that crowd of people. He had compassion on them as sheep not having a shepherd. Listen. Jesus said, my meat is to do the work of him that sent me. The work of my Father. Hey, Jesus was sent here to do what? Seek and to save that which was lost. Hey, I'm telling you folks, God loves us. Those sinners without Christ, God loves you before you even knew God. Before you even thought about God, he sent his Son to die for you so you could have salvation. Those of you that are saved, you are born again, and you've gone away from God. God loves you. Can I tell you something? He's there at the house, and he's looking for you coming over that hill to come back to him. He's not standing there with a paddle waiting to whoop you. No, he's going to have compassion on you. Oh, there may be punishment. There's going to be correction. But listen, can I tell you something? God loves us and he has compassion for us. In John chapter 14, we understand God's love and his love toward us. Over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, we understand the compassion of the Father. But to end today, I want you to go to Psalm 103 and verses 10 through 14. You guys are too slow in flipping today. We couldn't get to all the scriptures. In Psalm 103, verses 10 through 14. You ever heard this verse, these verses before? It says this in verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Folks, God knows us. He knows our tendencies. He knows what is going to come into your life. And he knows that from time to time you're going to get away from the Father if you are a born again child of God. Can I tell you something? He's waiting for you. He wants you to come back. Oh, listen, there may be some punishment there. There may be some correction and chastening. But don't forget, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Don't forget that he's going to be a God of compassion and a God of mercy. Remember David when he sinned against God? He chose to put his people in the hand of God, knowing the mercy of God. Did some die? Yes. But not as many as probably would have because of the mercy and graciousness of God Almighty. You know, today I just hoped to kind of shed a little bit of light on the way of the Father. The commandments of the Father, the correction of the Father, and the compassion of the Father. This story in Luke chapter 15, I believe, is representative of our God, God the Father. And a lot of people focus on the prodigal that went away and the prodigal that stayed home. I've heard both stories. But can I tell you something? We ought to look at what a father is and is to be in accordance with the picture of God the Father recorded for us in Scripture. You know, maybe today you do not know the Father. Maybe today you do not have eternal life because you've not accepted Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as your Savior. Today can be that day of salvation. You can be born into the family of God and call God Father. Maybe today you are a child of God, but you're like the prodigal. You're away from the Father. Maybe you haven't come to yourself yet. Maybe you haven't come to your senses and you need to come back. Listen, just understand, there's going to be some correction. There's going to be something that goes with your sin. It is forgiven, but you're going to have to suffer some consequences, but that's all right. Because He's going to be a compassionate, merciful God. Because He loves you. And He wants you to come home. He wants to hug your neck again and kiss you on the face again and show His love towards you once again. He's waiting. It's the way of the Father.